To many of us, running a marathon might seem like a huge accomplishment. But in the running world, it's just the beginning. These days, there are lots of so-called ultramarathons of 50, even 100 miles. And then there's the bad water. Try to imagine this, a 135-mile foot race starting at the lowest point in North America and ending up halfway up the tallest peak in the lower 48 states. And much of the race goes through California's Death Valley. Reporter Andy Bowers followed one runner through what is often called the toughest race in the world.
Let's answer one common question up front. No, no one has ever died while running the Badwater Ultramarathon. The other frequent question is, why on earth would anyone try this? That's what we wanted to find out.
I'm Angela Brunson, and I'm a deputy district attorney for the County of Los Angeles.
And so you might think a fairly rational person. So why would Brunson and 78 others want to run through Death Valley at the height of summer?
Well, it's not necessarily that I want to do it. The way I refer to it is I was kind of sucked into it, you know, like a tractor beam. You can't really escape the magnetism of this event.
Well, maybe you can't if you're already an ultra runner like Brunson, although this will be her first attempt at Badwater.
It started with seeing a movie about it called Running on the Sun, a really brilliant documentary. And of course, when I saw the movie, I was in an air-conditioned theater, so it didn't seem like it would present that much of a problem.
Cut to 31-year-old Brunson training for countless hours on desert roads, on treadmills, and to get used to the heat in saunas. On this evening, a week before the race, she's scarfing down rice at an LA Chinese restaurant. And what does she hope to get out of this?
It would be nice to finish in 48 hours, because if you do that, you are awarded a belt buckle. Which sounds really silly, but to other ultra runners, if you say that you had buckled at Badwater, it's quite an accomplishment. But to people on the street every day, you tell them you got a buckle for running this insane distance, they immediately want to lock you up.
It's 5:58 a.m. on race day. Brunson and her fellow candidates for commitment gather at Death Valley's Badwater Salt Flats, 280 feet below sea level. It's already nearly 100 degrees. At exactly 6 a.m., the man who made the first solo trek from Badwater to Mount Whitney 25 years ago, Al Arnold, plays the role of the starter's pistol.
3, 2, 1,
bang! Go!
And the runners burst out onto a road that winds past Death Valley landmarks like Furnace Creek and Dante's Peak. Their crews rush ahead in a fleet of minivans and trucks. The crews stop every mile or two, supplying their runners with whatever they need as they pass, from sustenance to moral support. Brunson's crew includes her boyfriend, Brian Seaver, who's checking their supplies.
I think, 120 pounds of ice? Probably 30, 40 gallons of Gatorade, Fig Newtons, Pringles, Metabolol, rice, tapioca pudding, 5, 6 pairs of shoes.
In progressively larger sizes, because her feet will keep swelling. As Brunson passes, crew member Bill Lockton swaps the empty bottle she's holding for a full one.
Thank you.
See you later.
What we do is we fill it with ice, completely filled with ice, and we pour Gatorade over it, and within a few minutes, it's going to be completely melted. It's amazing how hot it gets out here. Just wait a few hours.
He's not kidding. It will reach 123 degrees on this day with almost no humidity. It's so hot, if you try to wash your car windshield, the water evaporates before you can bring the squeegee to the glass. The heat also evaporates sweat, so runners can dehydrate fast. Their crews nag them to drink and drink and then drink some more. From time to time, like here at mile 17, Brunson allows herself a treat.
This is bliss. This is a vanilla ice cream sandwich. Basically, I think of this event as a connect the dots from ice cream stop to ice cream stop, you know, whatever works.
But later, after running 26 miles, the first of 5 regular marathon lengths she'll have to travel, Brunson has her first big blister, and the oppressive sun has begun to melt her enthusiasm.
You know, the worst part is you get the dumbest song stuck in your head over and over and over. I've been going through Doe a Deer like crazy. I can't break it. Ray, a drop of golden sun, just, you know, it's like the worst part of the song. And Far, a long, long way to run doesn't get much better.
Up ahead at a desert motel called Stovepipe Wells, a British research team from the University of Essex is following 2 Badwater veterans. Dr. Ralph Beneke is studying the physical and mental makeup of people who can run something like this over and over. After all, he says, this does put a tremendous strain on the human body.
So acute, it's not healthy.
but possibly it causes adaptations inside the body which enable these athletes to do this again and again and again. Because if I would try it, I wouldn't be able to get up to here.
He says it also takes remarkable mental powers to run through the pain. One of his subjects is running this race for a record 10th time. Dog food wholesaler Marshall Ulrich describes one of the common ways brains deal with the pain of this race, hallucinations.
I've seen Boeing 747s pull up beside me and green lizards on the road that don't exist and a gal clad in a bikini rollerblading in front of me that didn't exist. They don't frighten me anymore. They're more entertaining. It's just your mind just giving you a little bit of a break from the monotony of it all, I believe.
It's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it is an extraordinary night. There's a bright full moon that's just illuminating the entire landscape. You certainly don't need a flashlight to see where you're going here. It's still probably in the 90s, and Angela has now been going for 21 hours.
Remember all those times when you were a kid and your mom was like, time for a nap. You totally resisted. You're like, no, I'm not tired. I regret each and every opportunity that I did not take advantage of. I could use a nap.
Which she takes a few hours later, just past the halfway point. At 8:30 the next morning, Brunson recalls that she was almost ready to quit as she lay down on a motel sofa.
I just thought, you know what, I want them to let me sleep like a full 12 hours, even if it means not finishing. I didn't care. But it's amazing what an hour and a half of rest will do.
Brunson and most of the other runners still have nearly a full day left to go. Just finishing Badwater at all is the goal. 21 starters did not finish this year, including the guy dressed in a Roger Rabbit suit who passed out after 9 miles. But just after 3:30 in the morning on her second day running, Brunson can finally see the finish line.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
Not only has she beaten the 60-hour maximum time, Brunson will beat the 48-hour cutoff to get her belt buckle.
I want my medal and my buckle.
45 hours, 37 minutes, and 20 seconds after starting, Brunson crosses the finish line.
Well, who would that be?
Woo!
All right, Angela.
Now that she's completed one of the hardest races in the world, will she come back next year?
No, I don't have to come back now. Mission accomplished. Done, over with. Got it out of my system. I mean, ask me again in like a couple of months.
At which point her boyfriend's eyes widen in horror. Andy Bowers, NPR News, Lone Pine, California.